This Coin Week podcast is brought to you by PCGS. Time to get your variety coins graded. The new PCGS quarterly grading special is in effect, and collectors can receive half off variety attribution on up to 5 coins. Visit pcgs.com/ccspecial to find out more. Lee Crane is president of LNC Coins. The Los Alamitos-based coin dealer has been in the business for more than 36 years. Their fixed priceless catalogs are a staple in many a collector's snail mail inbox. In this episode of the Coin Week podcast, I talked to Lee, a straight shooter, about the 2017S Congratulations Proof Silver Eagle set, the mixed performance of the U.S. Mint's Gold Numismatic Coin Program, and what the Mint could do differently if it had a professional numismatist on its staff. Hi, Lee. Thanks for joining me on the Coin Week podcast.
Good morning, Charles.
LNC Coins is pretty well known nationally as a dealer in certified coins, and you do quite a business in modern mint issues as well as classic U.S. coins. But I have a feeling that you would be one of the dealers that would take a real interest in the mint's release of the Congratulations set that came out last week.
Yeah, it really came up kind of on short notice. We became aware of this S-Mint 2017 Proof Silver Eagle, and we just finished marketing the 2017 W Eagles. And when this S-Mint came up, we were excited. We thought that this would be a great opportunity for collectors to add a different coin to their set. And I think it was kind of a surprise to everybody.
It seems that the Mint didn't really do a lot of forward planning on that. We were told by a few people in the grading services earlier in the week that they had seen it on the Mint's website and that the Mint didn't even have the coin properly described in its product listing until a few days before its release. Despite the short lead time, the coin sold out within 2 minutes, so obviously there's demand there. How difficult was it for LNC Coins to get access to a sufficient number of coins to then remarket them?
Well, we operate pretty much the same as the public does. We go online and log into our account. The advantage we have over the public is that we have several computers here in our office. So in this case, we didn't even log into multiple computers. We just went on one computer with one person doing the purchasing, and we weren't able to buy what we wanted to buy. We were shut out like a lot of people. And the orders that we did get through were immediately back ordered. So that was kind of frustrating for us, and I'm sure that's frustrating for a lot of the public. And I think this may have been the fastest sellout of a coin ever that I'm aware of anyway.
Does that mean that the Mint's marketing people did a good job in planning the set out, or do you think that if the Mint makes something that sells out in 2 minutes, that they really, really underestimated demand?
I think the underestimated demand. Silver Proof Eagles are probably right up there with silver dollars as being one of the most collectible coins there is. And, you know, silver dollars are classic, where the Silver Proof Silver Eagles are modern. And what we're finding that people are assembling complete sets covering all the different issues that come out, from the anniversary sets to different mint marks. And even in the case of this one, this is a graduation set, but later in the year they'll probably do a limited edition silver proof set, and it's supposed to be a 2017S also. So that will be a coin that will be a secondary coin to this that the grading services will identify.
So let's talk about certified silver eagles for a second. You know, we track the certified silver eagle market in quite a bit of detail over the course of the past 2 years, and it should be no surprise for anybody that's paid attention that the price for coins in 70 and mint state and proof has come down in recent years as more and more coins get put into holders. The Mint last year celebrated the 30th anniversary of the silver eagle with a coin that had edge lettering, which, you know, if you're buying a certified coin, doesn't really help you out because you can't see the edge in a holder. But do you feel like the Mint missed an opportunity last year to really make a splash by changing out the design, you know, Mercandy's design with something new, and sort of close the book on the first 30 years of production of the coin?
I think that would have been really cool, although the design they have is pretty classic as far as I think collectors go. A Walking Liberty and the Eagle are just, you know, people love that. I'm sure if they had changed the design, they would have got a lot of criticism for it, maybe a lot of kudos also. But that's, you know, that's the risk they take when they do something like that. It would have been kind of cool, though, to just acknowledge the length of time that they've been producing Silver Eagles.
So how's the Eagle demand been in 2017?
The so far, the Ws are selling very well, just pretty typical as the proof Silver Eagles sell. The S, 2017 S, I don't think collectors are very aware of it at this point. I think it's kind of still under the radar, and we have some coins down at PCGS now that we bought in the secondary market, and we're looking forward to getting those back early next week, and then we'll have a better idea of the demand here. It's going to be interesting on eBay and the different venues that sell the stuff on our website and Amazon and that sort of thing as to how fast they sell, where the price ends up. This might be one of the most unusual modern coins in that I can see a chance here where this coin will start at a lower price and eventually end up at a higher price. And that, as most people know, that doesn't happen often with the modern coins. Usually they tend to decline some in price just depending on what the demand is. But this might be just the opposite of that.
One of the things that I've been thinking about, and I agree with you, that this coin is going to be worth more forever in the secondary market than what the Mint sold it for. They sold it for a dollar more than they sold the regular proof. And, you know, obviously I don't know who would collect the Mint's packaging for this type of product. But one of the things I was thinking about in a hypothetical way, if the coin had managed the 75,000 pieces, which was the product limit for this item, and they did not do a follow-up later in the year, then this is a coin that would be worth between $300 and $500.
That's kind of the price target we had for it. But at this point, it's not that high. And what I see on eBay and that kind of thing is anywhere. I've seen them unslabbed in the original packaging from, you know, a little over $100 up. You know, some people are shooting for the moon and wanting $200 and $300 for it. But you see coins at just over $100 at this point.
Maybe I should clarify. My projection was for proof 70 coins.
Yeah, I would agree with that. That's like I say, that's what we kind of talked about as far as 70s go. And it will be interesting to see, like I say, when they get out from the grading services, where they start at and where they end up at. There's one other issue here too that might have an effect on it, on the price of the coin, is the first strike. What we think we're seeing, which we don't have all the knowledge that the Mint has, but it looks like to us that the Mint is sending out smaller orders first and then larger orders. And if that's the case, some dealers, they tend to be the larger orders, may not get their coins in time to get first strike attribution on the holders. And if that happens, first strikes could be fairly rare in this. Now, we're just looking from the knowledge that we have on orders being shipped. That's what it appears to us, that the smaller orders are going first. And when they'll start shipping the larger orders, that's anybody's guess.
Okay, bear with me. I want to go back to my hypothetical game here. You know, I think if the U.S. Mint had a professional numismatist on staff, someone who knew the industry, the market, and the history of what the Mint has already produced, you know, I don't feel that they take a long view in what they do, forward or backward. If you would then take into account the distribution total of the 1995 W proof, I would have made the surprise release limited to the same mintage, maybe even one less. You would create all this fantastic buzz about it. This coin would never be worth the same as the 95W, but it would generate tremendous buzz and reinvigorate the series for years to come.
It definitely would. I think they would get a lot of criticism for not making more, though. And, you know, the usual criticism is that only the dealers can get them and the public can't. And That's only true because the dealers are more skilled at going online and buying that way. They don't have any advantage over the public, but the public perceives that. So if they did that, that would create so much buzz in the coin industry, especially if they announced it early enough that everybody knew about it. And it'd be interesting, that's for sure, but I think they'd receive a lot of criticism over that.
Oh, well, you know, I get it. I mean, I'm fully aware of that. But at the same time, if you were the collector that got a hold of one under that circumstance, that would be a coin you would hold on to.
Exactly. And, you know, isn't that the way it's supposed to happen, is that when instead of you buy three of them and you sell two to pay for it, you buy one and you hang on to it. That's when I collected back many years ago, that's what I did. I bought one from the mint of whatever I was buying. Of course, back then there wasn't all these different products, but mint sets and proof sets and that sort of thing. And I bought one, put it in my collection, and I forgot about it. It was just there. And now it's become so much of a business that, you know, collectors are looking to it to help fund their collection, which is nothing wrong with that. If I was a collector, I'd do exactly the same thing.
So let's get back to reality in the U.S. Mint and their marketing and how they don't have a sound game plan. So they released the congratulations set 2 days before they released the signature product they're going to offer this year, which was the $100 gold coin. I've seen that coin in hand. I'm of the camp that finds it to be a beautiful coin. But after months of promotion of that coin, it doesn't have the same kind of buzz at this point that the Silver Eagle got in such a short time frame. So by releasing them so close together, they essentially cast a shadow over the launch of their signature product, which is never a good idea.
Right. Well, I think, yeah, from a dealer standpoint, we were excited about the S-Mint Silver Eagle. We weren't that excited about the 1 ounce gold, especially at the premium it was being sold at. It's roughly $400 over gold, and that's a considerable premium. And it's a tough sell to the public. I mean, when you have a coin that the public's going to be able to buy for, you know, $100 to $300, $100 to $400, they're going to buy those. Everybody's going to buy those. Where you get a $1,600 plus coin, maybe with grading and all that, might be up to $2,000. That's a much tougher sell.
Going back to 2014, when the Mint put out the gold Kennedy half dollar, they followed that with a gold high relief, and then a year later they did the three coin gold centennial set, and now this new one. How have these coins done? I mean, are they risky buys for dealers when the Mint has high mintages and premiums on these coins in the first place?
They can be. Like, well, just to give you an example, the 2014 gold Kennedy, we lost money on those. It was we bought a lot of them, and by the time we were done selling them, we lost money on them. But that's the, you know, that's part of being a business. You don't hit a home run every time you do it. You have to be consistent. And I think this goes along with collectors too. Collectors may think, well, maybe I should wait to buy this stuff. But what I tell collectors is buy the same amount of every product that you're going to buy. And probably in the long run, you'll make money. Just because, you know, eventually these coins develop a premium and people want them.
When you said you lost money on the Kennedy coin, did it just underperform what you expected demand-wise? Or was the mint and demand strategy to blame?
I think it was overhyped that this, you know, this is the coin that was going to be the end all. And then the mintage was so high. I think that's a key factor. The other thing that was going on then was, remember, that was when, I believe it was Central States, or was it Ann? I think it was Central States. Coin show was going on, and people were taking them or buying them at the show, and it was just a frenzy there. And they were paying huge premiums at the show for those coins, and it looked like this was going to be a home run. But that soon changed when dealers got home and there was just so many coins out there. They flooded the market. And, it was just too many coins for too few people.
That was the ANA. That was the World's Fair money at Rosemont.
Yeah.
You know, going back to that show, I remember walking the bourse floor, and obviously, you know, the major wholesale dealers really had their act together and were able to source as many coins as they wanted at the show. But by the end of the show, after the Mint had stopped selling them and the services had packed up shop, you could walk around and see dealers with stacks of these coins and holders. And they were selling them at significant premiums right at and after the show. But then one dealer I walked up on had about a dozen of them raw. I guess they weren't nice enough to submit for grading or whatever. But I asked him, what are you selling the raw ones for? And he said, I'll sell these to you for $2,500 each. And I asked, well, what are you going to sell me these for tomorrow? Because, you know, the men were still making them.
Right.
And it just seemed that this issue was doomed to be a problem. And, you know, I think we just got on a sugar high after the success of the gold $5 baseball coin that we just expected that every release that the Mint put out, we would be able to capitalize on it.
Well, yeah, those are very popular, from a dealer standpoint, very profitable.
Do you have a brighter outlook for the silver metal versions of this year's $100 gold coin? They're going to come out later this year, and they'll have a number of finishes.
I haven't looked into that much because we're so focused on these eagles and also the 1 ounce gold coin coming out now. Metals tend to be a little different, a little tougher to sell, but we'll take a look at them and make a decision as to whether we market them or not.
So how's the coin business overall in your part of the industry? Are you starting to see the market pick up steam?
It's pretty consistent right now. I don't think it's on fire by any means. I think it's just kind of just a real consistent, real steady flow. We have some ups and downs during a month, but when we get to the end of the month, they're pretty much what they were last year, maybe a little bit ahead of last year. And we see, you know, modern coins, people still love those and are active in them. And same thing with classic coins. I think classic coins have probably rebounded a little bit more than modern coins have, and you see a little bit more interest in people, you know, completing sets and that sort of thing. It's a nice even market.
LNC Coins is but one of a handful of companies in the hobby today that puts out a regular fixed price catalog. If someone hasn't received one before or hasn't received one in a while, how can they get on your list?
It's real simple. LC Coins at lccoins.com, and coins is plural. They can also go on our website and request a catalog there.
Well, Lee, thanks for your input into the market and into the congratulations set. Before I go, do you have a firm idea of how many pieces from this set you were able to source?
If we get them all, if we get all the back orders and all that, we bought some futures on eBay also, so those people have to deliver. We should have in the 400 to 600 piece range, something like that.
Okay. Well, good luck with that. If you're a collector that couldn't beat the rush to get one of these estimate proof eagles, I know that LNC will be one place that you can look to shop for and get yours. Thanks for stopping by, Lee.
Thanks, Charles. Appreciate it.
Thanks for stopping by, Lee. If you like this podcast, please share it with your friends. Remember, you can download all 60-plus episodes of the Coin Week podcast for free from the iTunes Store. While you're there, please leave us a review. We like to hear your feedback because it makes the show better. For Coin Week, I'm Editor Charles Morgan. Until next time, happy collecting.